so much for joining me today for this. I'm so excited to interview you.
Oh, I welcome any opportunity to talk to readers or potential readers of the book.
Yeah.
Because I think that, I had such a disappointment when my book was released and the pandemic struck that I didn't get to do a book launch. I didn't get to do any of the book events that I was scheduled for. All the conferences were canceled that I was going to be a panelist for. So it was so heartrending to learn that there's this whole virtual community now that we can be a part of. I'm from the generation, we didn't grow up with Facebook. We didn't grow up with Instagram. And so it's a little bit of fear-based kind of technology for me. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. So a year ago, before the book came out, my publisher said, you know, this is a really good thing for you to get involved with, and maybe you'll like Instagram better. And I just fell in love with this community. And the community has kept growing, and they really respond to Reese Witherspoon's book club. Right. It was amazing to me that as soon as the news went out about Reese's book club had picked the henna artist as their May book club pick, the sales just shot up. And that was really rewarding to me just because I want more girls and women to read this book.
Right.
I want them to know that there is life outside of the constraints in which they might have grown up in.
Right.
I want them to know that they can set their own agenda for their lives, that they can. And I think, like my mother trained me to do, to make my own decisions about the biggest life choices that I have. And I want women to embrace this book as a female empowerment book.
Right. That's awesome. And we'll talk about that a little bit because I have so many questions. As I was going through reading the book, I have to tell you that I started reading it. I actually listened to the audiobook for the first time 10 days ago, and I really enjoyed waking up every day and putting on the audiobook and listening to hear what would happen to all the different characters, Lakshmi, Radha, all the different twists and turns. I felt like they became part of my day. I was kind of missing my family. They kind of became my family for the last 10 days. I have a bunch of different questions, but first of all, I wanted to start with, you wrote this book at the age of 51 and you pivoted from your career at the time to become a novelist. In many ways, I felt like Lakshmi did a lot of the same things, your protagonist in the novel. She tried to find her way in the world right after independence happened. And I wanted to see if there was any kind of similarity. Is there a little bit of you in Lakshmi and maybe Lakshmi in you?
Well, so, Lakshmi is a combination, really, of my mother and me. I wrote this book, as you know, for my mother, because she never got to make the decisions in her life that she made sure I could make. So even though she had an arranged marriage at 18 and three children by the time she was 22, she didn't let that stop her from realizing that her only daughter could grow up a little differently. And especially, I think, when we immigrated to the United States, she could see how other women were bringing up their daughters, or how girls in California and in the Midwest were sort of growing up with the ability to think for themselves and to say, if I want to be an artist, I'm going to be an artist. No, I want to make my own decision about whether I want to have children or not. So she said to me, marry whomever you want, have children, don't have children, it's your choice. And whatever you want to do with your career, it's your choice. And my dad's main concern was that we get a great education. And so he just made sure that we all went to great colleges and got the support that we needed to make it there.
Yeah.
So in some ways, what I tried to reimagine was, what would my mother's life have looked like had she fled the marriage before she ever had kids? What if she had had the wherewithal to go to another city and to reinvent herself as something else? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, what could she possibly have reinvented herself as? Well, one day my husband had come home with a gift for me. Mm-hmm. And it was this book called Hindu Altars. And inside were these beautiful hennaed hands. And also the very first altar that we see is Lakshmi. And so I knew right away, I thought, okay, my protagonist's name is Lakshmi, and she is going to be a henna artist. So I wanted to reimagine this life for my mother. So this was a reinvention of her. Then the reason that Lakshmi is actually a part of me is that I chose not to have children. Mm-hmm. And my mother was totally cool with that. And I wanted people to read this book and know that a woman who doesn't want to have children is okay. A woman who wants to have children is okay. A woman who loves to be in the marriage that she found herself in, that her parents arranged, is okay. And a woman who wants a love marriage with somebody that she has fallen in love with is also okay. So there are so many different kinds of women in this world. And I just feel like we have to respect all of them. We shouldn't prescribe a sort of life for every woman. And Lakshmi represents that ability to say, maybe this is not what I want, or maybe this is what I want, and let me be the person who gets to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. That is really, really beautiful, and also very enlightening, because when I was reading the book, I felt that your female protagonists were so strong, and they were empowered. They found their empowerment on their own. They weren't looking for a man to come and save them. Lakshmi wasn't looking for Samir to come and save her all the time. You know, she was trying to figure it out on her own. And I really loved that. And I felt like there are so many different aspects of women in this book. You saw Gita, who's considered the whore. You saw Lakshmi, who's divorced. You saw Radha, who everyone said is the bad luck girl. There are so many different aspects of womanhood and of female empowerment, but also femininity in each character. So I want you to talk a little bit about that. Why did you choose to write a book that had female characters that were so strong in their thoughts, in their minds, in their actions?
One of them is, of course, our mothers have so much to do with how we think about life. Mm-hmm. And my mother really raised me to be empowered in my own thoughts and my own ideas. So I think that one of the most important things that we can do for our sisters, our sisterhood, mm-hmm. our nieces, our nephews, anybody that we are passing our sort of self-esteem and our resilience and our wisdom onto, I think what we owe them is this ability to say, I can do it for myself. I don't need the other in my life. And the other could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be, you know, whatever we, the children, it could be whatever we think makes us whole. I think what we need to know is that we are whole just in and of ourselves.
Right.
We have everything we need right here in our corpus. We have everything we need to think about right here in our brain. And we just need to believe in ourselves more. And I wanted women to know, here is a whole set of very different kinds of women. They believe in what they think, and they are empowered in their own right, even without men in their lives.
Yeah. And I felt that really strongly when I was reading, because I felt like I saw myself a little bit in Gita and in Lakshmi, even in Maharani Indira, in the ways that she was doing humanitarian work and the words that she would say and how she would interact and how she was so grateful. And even in Radha and her feistiness sometimes, I felt like every single character was relatable to all the different aspects of being a woman, especially being a woman in today's world. I think it's a great message of female empowerment. It's a beautiful way for you to learn all the different aspects of what it means to be a woman by reading this novel. Today is Mother's Day, like you mentioned, and I know that you wrote this book for your mother. Can you share a little bit about your mother, what it was like growing up with her, and why you felt so compelled to write this book?
Yeah. I always felt that my mother had this huge creative streak in her. She could take anything crafty and she could make a beautiful something out of it. And I thought, you know, what what would life have been like for her had she been able to have her own business? I think she would have been fantastic because she was loved by people. She had a great way with people. She was also super business minded, but she never got the chance to do that kind of thing. And I saw her being a great mother. She loved us so much. And I remember once she said to me, "Your father gave me the greatest gift of all, which was 3 beautiful, smart children." That's so heartwarming because I could put that in the book. Women who love to have children, women who are empowered to have children and really want to have children, I think that this is how they feel, like this is the greatest gift the universe could have given them. So my mother was a loving mother. She was also, I think, frustrated. I could see her being frustrated by the life that she could not really make for herself. And so I think she gave me those kinds of messages and said, you know, you go out and do it. I couldn't do it, but you can go out and do it. And I'll give you a couple of instances. So when I was, I think 14 or 15, we went out shopping for dresses for some dance that I was supposed to go to at school. Mm-hmm. And we go to a department store like Bloomingdale's, Lord & Taylor, you know, one of those kind of stores. Mm-hmm. And she pulls a halter top off the rack. And halter tops had just been abolished at my school because they were considered too risque for teenage girls to wear. And this is in the 70s. And I said, "Mom, what are you doing?" And she said, "I think this would look great on you. Look how clever they are. Look, it's got a little tie in the back, and then your back is exposed, and you have such a lovely back." And I said, "Mom, that is way too risque. I can't wear something like that." And I thought for the longest time that my mother was trying to live her life through me vicariously, that maybe she would love to have worn something like that when she was my age. But as I grew older, I realized what my mom was really trying to do was to have me shine. She wanted me to shine no matter what environment I was in. She wanted me to be out there front and center. And she wanted me to be able to say, "This is what I think, this is what I believe, this is what I look like, and I love it." Mm-hmm. And I think finally in my 50s, I got there.
I think that when I hear you speak about her and when I think about your own life, a lot of the lessons, I see it coming through the fact that you can take control of what you have now and change a situation and be who you want to be at any age. I think it's really, really, really empowering. I know that you don't have any biological children, but I really do feel that you have unleashed an army of daughters everywhere. When they read this book, I really, in my heart, know that they will find something that will help them make the right decisions for their own life and make them feel empowered to make those decisions.
Now, thank you so much for saying that. I do get that feedback a lot from readers because they said they could visualize everything while they were reading it, and they could smell the smells, and they could feel the dust in the Jaipur air. And so thank you so much for that comment. And then can I just say that even though I don't have my own biological children, I do think it's possible to create family dynamics in a very different way now in our world. So we have friends that we rely on. We have neighbors we absolutely adore. We have my family and we have Brad's family, and we feel their love. We don't have to have biological children around us to feel that love or that care or to know that we will be taken care of in our old age. We definitely will be because we have so much love around us.
And much in the way that Lakshmi did, like she created her own family for herself.
Yeah.
Love. Yeah. I did want to ask you one question personally for me that I had in the book. Why did you have Lakshmi sleep with Samir? What was the purpose behind that scene? Because right after it happened, I felt bad for her in a way. And, you know, if you want to speak to that.
Sure. I do get asked that question.
Okay.
And I wrote many different versions of their relationship. One in which they started sleeping together a lot earlier and kept sleeping together throughout the novel. Mm-hmm. And then one version in which they never slept together at all. Mm-hmm. And then a third version, which is the one that's in the book, they slept just once together. Mm-hmm. And it awakened Lakshmi to what she was actually doing with her life. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons that they have to sleep together is because I think that is the moment that Lakshmi realizes, I mean nothing to this person. I am a business concern to him, as my sister is a business concern. He is more worried about what is going to happen to his own son if it's found out that he had an illegitimate child than he is worried about my 13-year-old sister and what's going to happen to her reputation. So she needed for that moment of contact, that intimacy, in order to find out what he really thought.
Right.
The other thing is that Parvati needed to have some hold over Lakshmi. In the scene where she essentially she destroys Lakshmi's business.
Right.
Why does she do that? Because she finds out that Lakshmi slept with her husband. Mm-hmm. That was the catalyst for Lakshmi then realizing that her life had to change fundamentally. Mm-hmm. And she needed to find something else to do. She could no longer stay in Jaipur. Yeah. So I felt like there had to be a big something that had to happen in order for all of that to take place, that change to take place.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense, because that was the only question that I kept gnawing at. Because I just loved her. And not that I didn't love her when she did it. It's just that I knew how she would feel after, you know,
yeah.
And my heart broke for her in that way.
I think that as women, many of us have been in that place where we have been with somebody whom we thought we should be
yeah.
with, or whom we were absolutely crazy about and thought highly of, mm-hmm. until the moment that we went into that intimate place with them, we did not realize that that was not the right choice for us. That was not the person that we should be investing any time and any energy into. So in my life, I chose someone to marry who would celebrate my success, who would celebrate anything that I did creatively. That was a very conscious choice that I made. And frankly, I was not marrying the doctor or the lawyer that I was subconsciously trained to think I should be with. I should be with a man who could take care of me, until I realized I could take care of myself. Hello.
Yeah, I think that's an important message. And I always think about that before I get married. What kind of qualities do I want in that person? I really do want to chart my own way. I really do want to make these decisions for myself, because once I make that type of a commitment, I will love that person, because I know in my heart I have a lot of love to give.
Yeah.
And so I'm very, very careful with who I entangle myself with as well. Also, Mother Lakshmi is also one of my favorite goddesses that I pray to often.
Oh,
so,
and it was for mine too, my mother too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Did you ever see the Made in Heaven series on Amazon Prime?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. It's filmed in Mumbai, and it's about these a man and a woman who run a wedding planning service in India.
Huh.
And she is married to a wealthy tycoon, but he is gay and can't come out to his own.
Yeah.
And it's taking place in modern day. It deals with so many pressures that I think young people are feeling today about how they should live their lives, how they want to live their lives. I just found it beautifully shot, beautifully acted, and beautifully written. And I thought, oh my God, if those people could make this into a series, they would do a gorgeous job.
Watch
Let's
that.
Cross our fingers and our toes.
My fingers and toes for you.
I want to tell you, I always wear these things. This is my mother's name, Sudha.
Uh-huh.
This is her, this was part of her watch chain that she always wore. And then this ring is what my father used to wear. It has their initials R and S on it, Ramesh and Sudha. So I always wear these with me. They're always with me. My parents are always with me. People who leave our lives are never, ever actually extricated from us because they're always in here.
I believe that too, even with all of our ancestors. I always think about that every morning. Every morning I wake up, I always say, you know, I always tell my ancestors, guide me, protect me, and lead me.
Wow, that is so cool. I am so excited that you have a whole cadre of writers in your group.
Yeah.
I do think that more women need to write in their voices.
Yes.
And they need to tell us their stories. I think for too long we have had only... we have had very limited scope in the stories that we have read and been able to read. Mm-hmm. So I do think that we need far more powerful female voices coming out and telling us what their life was like.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This is a piece of cake for me, talking to people about the book. This is very natural and organic for me because I've been doing it for so many years about other projects I was involved in.
Right.
And this is an advantage to being older that I think a lot of older women don't realize. You've been there and done that, and you can talk about so much more now with so much clarity than right. you could when you were in your 20s.
Your own experience as opposed to having to look to everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday with me.
Thank you, Bhavna. Thank you for offering me this opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's going to help a lot of women across the board. So it's my pleasure to do it. I loved the book. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't. And thank you so much.